Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace. We are now taking a look at the closing verses of 1 Corinthians, in which we find the final words of the Apostle Paul in this particular epistle, and they can be categorized as following. Number one, a warning. Two, a prayer. Three, a benediction. And four, an affirmation. Friday, we looked at the warning, and it's a very serious one. It ought not to be passed over lightly. For we read in verse 22, if anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. Let him be damned, anathema, literally. Clearly, there were some in the Corinthian church, evidently, that Paul suspected were not true believers. And so they were there. They did not there as members of the church, as professing Christians, but evidently did not have a sincere and genuine love for the Lord Jesus Christ in their hearts. And Paul says such people, he doesn't say such people will be damned unless they repent and come to Christ. He says, let him be accursed. That's rather striking. That's rather startling. You would have expected him to say, if anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him repent. Let him believe. Let him recognize his danger and come to Christ. And though I'm not saying the Apostle Paul wouldn't say any of those things, what I can say emphatically and dogmatically is that he did not say any of those things. What he said, startling as it is also instructive. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. Let him be anathema. Let him be damned. Startling. But before continuing to think about that, we will welcome you to this Monday, August 15 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and thank you for your financial support that keeps this ministry on this station. What do we make of Paul's words here? Well, the closest thing that I can relate it to is the imprecatory prayers of the Old Testament, generally in the Psalms, in which the psalmist prays for God's judgment to fall upon people. And you find language like this. And the imprecatory prayers have often been a source of, what should I say, embarrassment and difficulty for the people of God, if they are people who think that Christians should never say anything like that, should never think anything like that. But now we see that that was not only practiced in the Old Testament, these imprecatory prayers, this calling down of judgment upon enemies of God, but also in the New Testament, here by the Apostle Paul. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed, or more literally, let him be damned. Again, what are we to make of that? Well, it's clear on the surface that we cannot make a large dichotomy between the Old and the New Testament. Obviously, there are some differences between them, and they serve different and respective functions in the revelation of God. But to characterize the Old Testament as being harsh and judgmental and so forth, as it often is, lacking in love, and the New Testament being full of love and without the harsher judgmental elements that you find in the Old Testament, is not an accurate reading of either of these testaments. You will find plenty of grace as well as judgment in the Old Testament, and plenty of grace as well as judgment in the New Testament. And here is the proof. Don't take my word for it. Just consider the text that we're looking at right now in 1 Corinthians 16:22, where the Apostle Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, an inspired apostle of Jesus Christ, where the Apostle Paul says, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, words that were given to him by the Holy Spirit, and I think that would be true to say it, but at least we could say words that were guided and guarded by the Holy Spirit and were sanctioned by the Holy Spirit and by the Holy Spirit are included in our New Testament scriptures. And here we have them. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be damned. Well, there are actually similar warnings in the New Testament. You could find something similar in Galatians chapter 1. You're probably familiar with that one, but let me find that one for you. Galatians chapter 1, as soon as my fingers turn there, and here we are. Verse 8, but if even we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed, or again, let him be damned. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Same thing. In Galatians 1, Paul does not say, if somebody preaches any other gospel to you, let him recognize his error, let him repent, let him change his direction, let him come to the Lord Jesus Christ, let him recognize that he is believing and proclaiming a false gospel, and let him come to Christ for salvation. But no, it's much stronger than that. If anybody preaches any other doctrine, let him be damned. And there are other examples. I will not turn to them now, but by giving you at least one other, you realize that this is not unique in 1 Corinthians 16:22. So again, what are we to make of this? Well, we are to realize that it is a serious matter to trifle with spiritual truth. It is indeed a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, but it is a serious thing to trifle with the truth. Perhaps I will turn to another section. Hebrews chapter 6 contains another solemn warning, doesn't it? And the same lesson to be learned there about not trifling with the gospel. Hebrews 6, verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance. It is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. It's impossible to renew them again to repentance. That's a solemn warning. Of course, if a person does not come to repentance, what is the result of that? He will be eternally condemned. And so, though you don't have identical language in Hebrews 6, it's not quite as strikingly parallel as the ones we find in 1 Corinthians 16 before us now in Galatians chapter 1. Nevertheless, it is a similar warning. And I could take you to the epistles of John, the apostle of love, and show you other similar statements. And so we find these kinds of statements in the New Testament. They're there. The only reason we wouldn't see them is if we don't pay attention to it. We don't read it carefully. We choose to overlook them and ignore them and act as if they're not there because they may not fit into our idea of what ought to be there. But that's always a danger we must resist. Forcing the Bible into the mold of what we think it ought to be rather than receiving what God has put there and letting it shape and reshape our thinking. For when there's something in the Scriptures that is contrary to our thinking, if there's something in the Scriptures, if I could put it the way I did a moment ago, that is contrary to what we think ought to be there, then who do you suppose is wrong? Or maybe I should say, what do you suppose is wrong? The statements of Scripture or our thinking? Clearly, it's our thinking that's wrong. It needs to be changed, doesn't it? And we constantly have to have our thinking challenged and changed by Scripture. At least we need to be willing to do so. If we're not, we're going to be in error a great deal of the time, much more than we realize. And I think it is the sad reality that many Christians, certainly professing Christians, but I think in many cases many genuine Christians, go through life with many, many ideas that are contrary to the Bible simply because they will not allow the statements of Scripture to challenge what they have always believed, what they have chosen to believe, what they want to believe, what they are confident is the truth. And if there's something in the Bible that does not agree with it, then they just sort of shuffle that off to the side and pretend like it's not there, not deal with it. That's no way to be. That's no way for a Bible-believing Christian to act. Yes, there are warnings like this in Scripture, and they are serious. And we need to consider them very seriously. Truth cannot be trifled with safely. The very activity that I've been describing, confronting things in the Bible that you don't like, that you disagree with, and therefore rejecting them, denying them, that's a good example of what the warnings are all about. Don't do that. Don't trifle with truth. You may have some correct notions that are lopsided because you cling to a partial truth as if it is the whole truth. You cling to a comfortable concept and will not allow what would apparently be an uncomfortable concept to come in alongside it. But we must be willing to do that if we're going to learn, if we're going to grow, if we are going to understand God, who gave us His Word, and this reveals His thinking. And there are certainly, therefore, times when it is appropriate to pronounce severe judgment upon those, particular those, and this is the category we have here in 1 Corinthians 16, pronounce God's judgment upon those who profess to be Christians, but they aren't. That's what Hebrews 6 is warning against. How dangerous that is. Impossible for people who fit the description in Hebrews 6 to ever come to repentance. It's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing to trifle with salvation. It's a dangerous thing to trifle with the gospel. It's a dangerous thing to trifle with a Christian profession. And we must always be willing to receive truth, to receive God's Word, and to acknowledge it as truth, and to treat it as such. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.